Hey, everybody, we have a live show coming up July 19th in Los Angeles at Largo. You can buy your tickets online at largola.com. Two shows, two different guests, two different movies. You know how we do. We also have a pretty amazing piece of merchandise. I'm not going to tell you too much more about that, but you can only get it at our live shows. They're amazing. I cannot wait for you to see it. Also, the Howdies are coming up. The Howdies are the first ever How Did This Get Made award show, and we want submissions from you, our fans. If you want to make an audio collage, write a song, do some sort of tribute that we can play, we would love it. But we're really looking for maybe a fun audio collage, maybe like your favorite questions and answers from the mini episodes, or favorite opening lines, or favorite times that Jason has used the word boner or June has been confused. You get the idea. You can make an audio collage. Do it. Now let me tell you about our good old friends, Squarespace. This episode today is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, or online store. For a free trial and 10% off, visit squarespace.com/cage. And enter the offer code June, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. A better website starts with your website. Before we start the show, just a word of announcement. We're doing a How Did This Get Made award show, and we're looking for people like you, creative people, to maybe put together a cool sound collage. I think if you remember the awesome one that was made a little while ago that we had on the show, if you guys have something like that, maybe my best answers to the Q&As and the mini episodes, or June just being grossed out by something, or Jason being turned on by something, if you put them together, we're going to put that in there as a sort of fan-submitted musical number. I don't know how it all works, but anyway, How'd This Get Made awards are coming, and we can't wait to do them with you. Now on with the show. Wrongly imprisoned, this is a story of a hero's triumph over the prison system to come back to a life in normal society. We saw Ernest Goes to Jail, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made. We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I am Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by June Diane Raphael. How are you, June?
I'm great. How are you doing, Paul?
Very good. And Jason Manzoukas, how are you, Jason?
Oh, Paul, you know what? I'm fine. I'm fine. I just watched this movie, so.
We have a very special guest, a very funny, talented writer. You know her from shows like Girls, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and her book, Dear Diary, Leslie Arfin.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for asking me to do this.
I am so excited about this.
And you're welcome for having an opportunity to watch Ernest Goes to Jail.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this must have been huge for you.
You guys.
I'm going to admit it right off the top of the bat. I cried at Ernest Goes to Camp. Like that movie
when I was a kid. Okay, good.
Because he had that song about he likes to cry in the rain because you can't see the teardrops. Very moving. I did not follow the further adventures of Ernest. Scared stupid, mm-hmm. Goes to Africa.
Africa? Okay, you can't even find that.
I know. I had somebody, one of our interns was able to watch it, and it was not as racist as you would think it would be.
Ernest Goes to Africa?
Yeah, which is a bummer, because you feel like at that point they probably just were like, well, fuck it. Yeah.
Goes to Jail was a little racist.
Oh, yeah. There's still a little bit here. You just assume that Ernest Goes to Africa would be way worse.
I don't remember watching any of the other movies, but the first thing that came up for me was, I was curious, is the conceit in all of the Ernest movies that there's another character that looks like Ernest?
No, I don't think so.
In what sense? So let's, so in Africa, maybe there's a black
African-American
Ernest.
There's not
an African-American Ernest.
I thought.
So it's an American.
We'll move back to Africa. So that's correct.
He has repatriated himself to his birth country.
That's correct.
And so he's an African-American living in Africa.
Yes.
It looks like Ernest.
Is that the conceit?
No, the conceit. The conceit from Ernest, from what I understand, is Ernest is always a janitor who is striving to be something else.
So like in this one, he wants
hijinks ensue.
But yes. He's not always a janitor at that bank.
No.
Sometimes it's at camp.
Yes.
Or camp in Africa.
Yeah. Sometimes he. I don't know the reasoning why he goes to Africa, but I do know there's one movie where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar gives him magic sneakers and he becomes an amazing basketball player. But he's probably a janitor at an NBA facility.
But there are none of the players that are in Ernest Goes to Jail are also in, and none of the townspeople.
Mm. No, the only one that is. And this is one of my favorite characters in the entire movie, is the old guy who doesn't speak.
The guy with the gun.
Bobby. Bill.
Oh, the guy
Berge.
From Raising Arizona.
Oh, no. That's his prison mate. This is like the older man who had that crazy face.
He looks like the kid from Road Trip.
DJ Qualls?
Yeah.
Grown up.
Well, by the way, there are a lot of characters in this movie who don't speak for the entire movie and then start speaking.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, there's a lot.
He's one of them.
Well, I will talk about this guy, Bill Berge, I guess. He retired. He worked in a Nashville library. And then retired to start acting in Ernest movies. And that's pretty much all.
Specifically? Aww. And his dream was achieved?
I guess he may have been friends with...
That's so specific.
I'm retiring. I'm going to work in these Ernest movies. So I'm moving to California to figure that out. And he does it.
I think he's only been in Ernest movies. He was 81 years old.
Shocking. Ernest must know him.
That's he was 81 when.
Oh, I guess he's 81 now. Sorry, yes. Okay. He's 81 now. But yes, so he's the only reoccurring character, but does not play the same. Actually plays Bobby in every one of the movies. I'm just looking at it right now. Yes,
thank
he does
God.
Play Bobby.
Okay, but he's not with Chuck in every single movie.
Not that I know of.
Okay.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah. We haven't even gotten into the movie.
You know what? And if we never do, our lives will all be richer for it. Where does Ernest come from? Like, what is the origin of this character?
There are a couple things that I know, and this is true. Ernest, you might think, maybe this is a Groundlings character. He was a stand-up comic who created the character.
Like a Pee Wee Herman type character.
Right, because...
No, it was created by an ad agency, and he was cast as this character. And
for the ad... Oh, wait.
What so really?
was the product? I remember this now.
The Ernest character was created by a national advertising agency called Cardin & Cherry. He used to be in commercials throughout the country, and used mostly in dairy commercials at first, then moved up to news and local TV promos. He was the guy I was like, hey, Vern.
Yeah.
Who's Vern?
We never saw Vern. That was the joke. The audience, the people at home were Vern because he was always talking to the camera. And Vern was like in the shower or on
guys,
the toilet.
I think,
I don't care for that.
Philosophically speaking, we are all Vern.
Now, the character got so successful from commercials that it was spun off into a TV show called Hey Vern, It's Ernest. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know how long that lasted. I'm sure I can find that out.
I thought the TV came after the movies.
No, because it said in the opening credits of the movie that he had won an Emmy. He was Emmy Award winning.
Said that?
Yes, it
in
said
the credits.
That.
Why did
in
I
the
say
credits?
That?
I fast forwarded the credits.
By the way, it was the longest credit sequence I've ever seen in my life. But I'm pretty sure it said that.
Hey, Vern, It's Ernest ran for 13 episodes, and then he went right on to do Ernest Goes to Splash Mountain, a Disney movie.
What did he win an Emmy for?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, what?
Programming actor.
Yeah. I'm sure
was
he got
that's children's an award. Show? I don't remember
this. Here's
this
the thing that's going to blow up your whole podcast is that this movie did really well.
Yes.
And it got made because kids loved him. It was like a huge franchise.
Love this movie. I mean, I love those. Ernest Goes
you
to
did?
Camp. Ernest, not
that was
this
a
one.
Good one.
Ernest Goes to
was
Camp.
Was that the first?
I think it
I
was.
Didn't see
oh,
it.
That was the one that like had the most, like he like a snapping turtle bit his nose. Like that was classic Ernest.
Sounds familiar.
I remember that in the trailer.
I'm having a flashback.
But he was a straighter Pee-wee?
Yes. Well, that's what I was actually worried about.
Oh, I see. You mean straighter and not as Faye.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, because
he's sort of a working class.
A redneck
Pee-wee.
Yeah, a shittier dress.
Right. But Pee-wee. See, I did
well,
not find him
lovable. Because his houses still have all those machinations
lovable.
Of Pee-wee.
Yeah, I had a question about that, and we can wait till we get... I don't know how it goes.
You can go. I mean, June didn't find him lovable, so you're like...
I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is shocking news. If I may, this is shocking news.
Are we supposed to think that he is different or Southern?
You putting quotes on that?
Is he challenged?
I wrote that down, too. Oh, I go, is he... I wrote that down. Yeah, I said, is he mentally handicapped? Because he acts like a child.
And if he is challenged...
Yes.
Why is his house a Rube Goldberg?
Yes, contraption.
Adventure.
Yes.
Well, I had trouble with all those contraptions because I usually find them satisfying in movies. Mm-hmm. When they take... they're just satisfying to watch.
Can you hit me with like two examples? Could you have any?
Oh, Pee has like five...
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
true.
Like, and he's the only
but
one.
But usually they make life easier on some mm-hmm. level. And right. for his contraptions, it was just like...
I wrote this down.
A rubber thing hitting the TV.
Yeah, there was no strategy to it. It was like, why would you start to create that? What problem are you solving with this product?
His products seem to hurt him. Like, instead of a shower, which is a relatively simple contraption, he created a washing machine that he puts himself in and is violently shook.
Right. You know what? We haven't even talked about the powder aspect of this movie.
But the movie powder?
That he became powder conveniently.
I say he became Electro, but that's just the kind of nerds that we represent.
I was like, oh, so this is like Ernest becomes powder.
Yes.
Well, in the first couple seconds of the movie, he is violently electrocuted.
Oh, yes. And he's repeatedly, a degree of voltage is put through his body repeatedly throughout this movie. At one point, this is a children's movie, I believe, now.
Yes.
At one point, he is electrocuted in an electric chair in a prison, which should kill him, but only makes him more powerfully magnetic.
I really want to talk about, because it is in one of the first scenes.
Sure.
The science behind like his conductivity and how it tracks through the movie.
Do you want to talk about the science that gets us even to that? Which begins with the floor buffer that has a sticker on it that says, do not flick switch rapidly.
Which he has been doing repeatedly.
And then that floor buffer can climb walls and go across the ceiling.
And I would argue the floor buffer is like the, you know, antagonist of the movie.
or the catalyst.
Yes, absolutely.
It basically, if this was like, to break it down on a superhero origin story, it is because of the floor buffer that his latent mutant talents are awoken and he's given this like Magneto kind of electro
power. Going to say, like, is this what we're going to see in the new Spider-Man movie?
Yeah.
Kind of this, you know, maybe Jamie Foxx is playing with a floor buffer.
I heard a huge part of it is a ripoff of this movie. Huge part.
So he becomes electrocuted. Well, I don't even remember how, because of the floor buffer.
Yes.
The light falls on him?
The plugged-in lamp falls on him after the floor buffer has poured gallons of water that...
The floor buffer shouldn't have had that much water in it. There is definitely a problem in that.
I don't think floor buffers have water in them.
I'm going to argue that too.
Controversial statement. They don't have water.
But do they shoot out a lot of foam like shampoo?
Oh my God, the foam was
or do they
real.
Not obey the rules of gravity?
No. Oh, there was another part in this movie that got really... they didn't obey. They abandoned all rules when Bobby.
Yes.
The peeks cop. Behind oh, yeah. the old man. The coat rack.
I love this scene.
I don't know how to describe
this
it.
This is like a Looney Tunes scene.
Really hard to describe.
This is a Looney Tunes scene.
That was crazy.
Just picture a microphone stand and a grown man peeking out from one side, but his other side is you can't see it. So it is like a Looney Tunes.
But that's like it's a Looney Tunes thing where he keeps popping up. He's spying on the Ernest. Our Ernest's. Oh God. He's
evil Ernest.
On on evil Ernest the double. And but he keeps popping up all over the bank. It's like boing. Boing, boing. Everything, the physics doesn't make sense.
And you know they put that in because they were like, this is so classic.
Yes.
This is funny. We gotta do this bit.
There is so many things. I mean, again, this movie starts off in the... just to even pull it back to the beginning, before we even get into the prison element of it, the movie starts off with the premise that the two men who work in the bank as security guards are frightened and scared of Ernest cleaning the bank while they're all in it together.
Of a noise. They're just frightened and scared of a noise.
And that seems to be his job, which is he is the night janitor.
Yep.
By the way, the hours and times in this movie never make sense.
Oh, no.
Court is getting out like at midnight.
He goes, the boss goes, I have to go. I'm late for dinner. The sun is shining. It's 1 p.m. The people in prison are working during, I mean.
None of it makes sense.
Ernest could have been in jail in this movie for 12 months or 12 hours.
Yeah,
it did not make. So basically, So that opening sequence with the cops and everything, that's fine.
Can I just say, to go back to the science for a second, he gets electrocuted by a lamp and then becomes, I guess, a conductor. Well, yes. He becomes magnetic until his face gets smushed.
He's magnetized. Everything metal starts shooting across the room and sticking to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. But that goes away for most of the movie.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the scene. I'm not going to lie. I did enjoy the scene where he takes Charlotte, the love interest, out on a date and the spoons started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was because
he went like that and yes. He put his fists against his face like a little kid and he looked cute.
Yes.
Well, that love romance between
I have a lot of problems with this.
Well, this is where it goes back to the idea of is Ernest special, because Ernest is speaking like a 3-year-old kid. He's like, I don't have confidence.
Keep in mind,
that man's a bad man.
In case, just for the listeners, and I don't know, there are probably listeners who are like, I don't actually know what this is.
Yeah. Mm.
Ernest is conservatively a 60-year-old man.
I think that is part of the problem.
He is in his 50s.
Yeah, it's strange. Well,
I will say that that Jim Varney passed away at the age of 50. During pre-production of Ernest the Pirate, which is half finished.
Ernest the Pirate changing the rules.
Yes, changing the rules. And by the way, just another side note about Jim Varney, he was a smoker, a very bad smoker. So he died of lung cancer.
He would always put the lit end in his mouth. He was terrible.
Never knew how to do it, put it in his ear. But that's why in this movie even he says, don't smoke. He goes, hey, you want a cigarette before he's about to get electrocuted?
He had cancer while he was shooting this?
I think he just realized that as a person. I don't know if he had cancer during this film.
It said on Wikipedia that once he found out he had cancer, he quit smoking.
Yes.
And did a PSA. So maybe he
As Ernest, yeah. So who knows?
Well, that's very sad.
Also, when he was evil, when he was his doppelganger and Ernest was Jim Varney, he was hot.
He was
as fuck.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree. I was actually like,
wait, what is
I 100% agree. And I was shocked.
And he was kind of aching to do drama.
Well,
you know, he
thing.
Actually
he
did do
so,
some drama.
And he was so good as evil Ernest.
Really good.
He was great.
Jason.
And I never was like,
ooh, this is good. This is getting me going now.
I was shocked, and at one point I thought to myself, is he really attractive, or... And I thought he was oozing sexuality.
Totally.
Oozing?
Yes.
Oozing sexuality.
Yes.
Jim Ernest. In Ernest. Okay, I just want to make sure. In Ernest Goes to Jail, there was a character that was oozing sexuality for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
And that
was really cute. And
yes.
Then he sort of raped.
I know.
There was a rape scene.
There was a rape scene.
But what were you going to say?
I was going to say, at one point I thought, okay, it's just in comparison to how childlike and boyish Ernest is that I'm thinking bad Ernest is attractive. But looking back on it, I don't think that was the case. I think he just, like, I thought for a second, oh, it's just in comparison. I'm so impressed that he's doing something different.
Mm.
But I think he really channeled.
Hey, Leslie.
So you were thinking that he wasn't being rapey?
No. He was definitely being rapey.
No, in that
rapey
scene,
there.
He was being rapey, yeah.
Oh, what? I'm sorry.
I'm just saying.
Oh, that he was hot in comparison.
Yes, I was like, I don't know which end is up anymore, but I don't think that's the case.
I don't think it is. I think we can tell.
Well, yeah, I think we can.
I think we're mature enough that we can admit, you know what, this is just a compare situation. No.
This is,
you know
if
why?
I may, if June is going to take over the role of thinking something is overly sexual when it isn't, then I have to say, this is very upsetting.
No. You know what, for people listening...
I'm sorry. I was
Google
turned off.
If you Google Jim Varney right now,
I'm looking at a picture of him, and he is
look at that picture.
Yeah. He's not a bad-looking guy.
Okay, sure.
And he's weathered, and he's
rugged. You know what? He's rugged.
He did do a drama called Wilder Napalm.
He's also Ernest.
Yeah.
in this movie. You didn't see a Jim Varney movie on its own and be like, hey, you know who's not so bad looking when he's not Ernest is Jim Varney. No, you watched an Ernest movie.
I saw the Jim Varney come.
But by the way,
he wanted to come out.
Let's talk about this.
He did.
Jim Varney plays three characters in this movie. Ernest P. Worrell, Mr. Felix Nash, and Auntie Nelda.
Oh, yep. Where he was suddenly super smart. That's another confusing thing. He does great impressions.
Oh, he does great impressions. As there's a scene, we actually should play the clip. At a certain point, Ernest is, well, we should just get into the idea of why he is in jail. He is serving on a jury, and he happens to look like a criminal mastermind.
That was a great scene.
That was the scene I laughed at, where he's chewing on his pen, okay. And the ink gets on his face. But then I got upset.
The ink in the mouth and all over the face was making totally me dry heat.
I wrote down, I go, this is like what it's like for me to watch Saw. Because I was like, oh, I don't like. When he started chewing the paper, I was like, ugh.
Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
There's a lot of wet mouth sounds. I'm like gagging right now. There's a lot of wet mouth sounds in that scene, and I really can't handle wet mouth sounds. You guys know how I feel about wet mouth sounds. And this one scene because he's chewing on wet paper.
And his face is covered in like a real...
it's green.
And it's like drip. It looks wet. It's a wet ink.
It looked like blood, like black blood. It didn't...
But the judge says, sir, June, I think it's
African-American
blood.
Yes.
And then we look at him, and he's covered in ink and chewing on paper, and he says, I'm fine. And I thought that was very funny.
Well, Ernest...
I also thought it was funny. I thought this whole sequence was funny, that when he sort of thinks he's still on jury duty and that they're just being very thorough about it, and he wakes up in jail. Like, I had a couple good laughs.
Basically, Ernest is a victim of a criminal mastermind because the criminal mastermind realizes that he looks like Ernest, so he could swap places with him. So Ernest goes to jail as basically everyone thinks he's this criminal mastermind in jail, and then on the outside, sweet poor Ernest, who everyone loves, is planning to rob a bank. That's basically
it. It's a switcheroo movie.
Now, here's a wild card of an observation.
Sure.
The colors in this movie.
Yes.
So glad you brought that up. So glad you brought that up.
Okay, thank you.
Do you want to go just straight for the uniforms of the guards at the prison?
Here's what's interesting about those costumes. They're both, the guards are wearing bright pink suits. Mm-hmm. Kind of like zoot suits.
Yes.
They look like they're in like one of our future weird movies.
It reminded me of what Raul Julia looks like in Street Fighter. They're just very big, shoulder pads, pink.
Which was just such a choice and such a sort of defining characteristic of this world, and it was so kind of cartoonish.
Was that to make it less threatening to kids, do you feel like? To make it seem more colorful and less scary? You know, because I'm assuming this movie was aimed at kids for kids.
Well, that's the thing that's surprising. It was NC-17 when it came out.
Well, when that rape scene happened, I was genuinely like, what is happening here? But I was assuming that some of that stuff was to make it seem like poppy and not as kind of like...
Well, it is a heavy topic for children.
The way that they shot that whole... First of all, there are two sets in the movie. The bank set.
Oh my God.
The bank set, walls are cardboard.
I was just going to say,
it's a theater set.
It is,
It looks like, I've never seen more of a set. So much to when they actually do an overhead shot, it really shows the whole room because there's no roof.
But the prison was also, it was so dark in
the lighting.
The lighting, I didn't see anything.
Well, I thought that the costume designer was like, let's make their jackets hot pink because in the lighting, they'll look red. And I thought she was dumb because...
Interesting.
Because everybody else in the movie wore army green or blue. Everyone else.
Well, I will also, just to talk, I mean, I know it's a kid's movie and we can't get too much in detail, but the idea that the evil prisoner was able to have a matching Ernest prison outfit. Basically the evil prisoner puts on like an Ernest jean jacket, but it's green.
No, he swapped clothes with him.
No, but
he also had a green vest.
Before he bonked him on the head, he was wearing a green prison vest and a green prison hat.
Yeah.
They were like the prison colors of Ernest's outfit, which I don't know how he lived.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Unless you were to believe that this old prison also had Ernest outfits as well.
But the girlfriend wore green
and blue at one point.
I want to get into that relationship in a major.
Yeah. Yes, mage. I want you guys to really dig it out.
To talk about it.
Because, all right, so this is Ernest has a relationship with Charlotte Sparrow. So Charlotte Sparrow is this nice woman who works at the bank and is really smitten with Ernest. And at first she's saying, like, look, we're going to go out for dinner just as friends, which I thought was a little bold.
She wants to help him get a job. She wants to help him get a promotion at the bank.
She also wants a promotion, but not for the same job.
Nope. And so she's helping him out in a way that I was like, oh, she's helping the janitor who may or may not be quote unquote special. But then it turns into a weird date, and that's when it starts getting real weird.
But does she like him?
I don't think so.
Well, no, she says it. She says immediately. She goes. She says when they're sitting there, he's like, she's like, oh my gosh, you're so funny. Like he made that joke. Like he makes a dumb, like a real, like fifth grader joke. Yeah, she loved
that joke. And it was so weird
that
she liked it because it seemed to me that he, like, she was actually trying to open up to him.
Yeah,
and he was very inappropriate, dismissive. Yeah,
but she loved it. She goes, Ernest, this is fun. You make good company.
Yeah,
you may. And then later on, she says, like, I haven't gotten a chance to take a break from my job. Which is like, she just works in a local bank. It's not like that. You don't know if you take that work home with you.
In the other movies, does Ernest have like
a sex
love interest? Yes. And is he a sexual being?
No, in the other movies, they have penetrative sex. They show penetrative sex.
I'm imagining that in all the movies, when he's sticking it in, he definitely has. I imagine he has a love interest in every movie.
I think it's interesting that children's movies do that. They have this platonic love interest that
they never really get together at the end.
No, it's like the princess in Super Mario Brothers or Dottie and Pee Wee. It's like there's always a, but they don't do anything. There's no point to them. Little kids don't give a shit about a love interest, right? Or maybe girls. It's to get
maybe
girls.
That gets the girls in.
What she ended up serving as was really stakes for him once he got to prison to sort of go along with the fact that he was bad Ernest because they threatened to kill her.
Right, well, that was his whole motivation to get out. He seemed to have no problem being in prison if the only reason to get out of prison was to save this girl that he only had one dinner with that just wanted to be friends.
I did not pay attention like you guys did. I had a very hard time watching this movie.
I get it.
You know?
Do you remember when he had a lobster on his face?
Yes, which means that the lobster was alive when they were going to serve it. Right?
I had trouble with that too because the lobster grabbed onto his nose and cheeks.
Yes. Right, so I didn't even think about the lobster being alive.
The lobster's
but is the
dead.
Lobster magnetic?
Well, here's the thing. Okay. Something on that plate was magnetic.
The gravy
was being served sort of upside down to have like flown out of his face like that and alive.
It was definitely dead. The lobster was dead because it was red.
But how was it
an alive lobster is green.
Right, but it was okay,
clamped
good.
Onto his face, though.
Yeah, but how did it
oh,
why
yeah,
did it
I
clamp
think that
on?
Was just because the thing pushed it up on his face and they thought it was a funny joke.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I would buy that that's a funny joke.
I laughed.
Yeah, a lobster.
You guys are buying that. Okay.
Do you guys remember when he gave a buttery hand job to a breadstick?
That was so upsetting.
Tell me about that.
I was really like, what the fuck is that?
The butter tray flew at him because on the date he's magnetized again.
There is a reason
because his dryer. Is his giant size human dryer is broken. He opens up the circuit breaker and is like, oh, there it is. I got a short here. And he touches it and he electrocutes himself again.
But it was too much of a delay for me because it seemed like his magnetic powers only lasted for about 4 to 5 minutes.
Oh, man. That's the thing is you're just not getting the extent of Ernest's magnetic powers.
Remember when he gets cocky?
I mean,
cocky?
His power set is pretty clear.
Well, he gets cocky at
Very
the end.
Cocky.
And then it dribbles out. It's like, it is only for 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's like a guy who's
dribbles
like,
out and turns into fairy dust?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was an odd moment where he just stares at the dust at his feet. I felt sad for him there. Yeah.
It's like a guy who takes a Viagra and comes immediately. That's what I exactly, felt like. That's right. The subtext of this movie, right?
No. Just so you guys know, also, all these movies were written, I guess this one wasn't, but were all directed by John R. Cherry, who
this
worked
one as wasn't?
Was. This one was. It was written by Charlie Cohen. Normally, John R. Cherry would write them as well.
J.R.C.
He was from the ad firm F. Carden and Cherry.
That's so interesting. I didn't know about this advertising.
I'm actually kind of creeped out by it. I remember him doing all the commercials, but I'm kind of creeped out by the fact that he's so, like, it's like the Geico caveman. It's like, you know, it really is. He is a created.
So, but you never find out, like, how Ernest came to be who he is. Like, what the.
He's just a janitor.
He's Southern.
No, but he's not well.
Right.
Well, but at moments, he seems really right.
Here's the thing I will say.
Impressions.
In this movie alone, I see numerous things that happen to him that could cause him to have severe brain damage. So if in the earlier movies those things happen as well, I get it.
He's getting a lot of blunt force trauma to the head. Yeah, yes, constantly.
And a lot of electricity coursing through
his body. I really like
that
electric
chair. But
there's
a speech pattern. I mean, there's a whole thing that Ernest does where he drops into these monologues.
Yes.
You know, sort of to himself that it seems like he can't stop.
Keep going.
But it that also feels, it has the tenor of being like a neurological problem.
Mm.
What do you think, like, you know, if we were to diagnose him? You know, like if we were to diagnose him, is he like multiple personalities? Is he schizophrenic? Like, is he, what's going on with him?
Well, there is one scene where he does all the voices as he's trying to get into the character of Bad Ernest, where.
Oh, that's the thing. When Ernest gets stuck in jail because the double switches with him, Ernest has to impersonate the baddest ass guy in prison.
He may have been like molested at a very young age, and he's stuck in that age.
Interesting.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. You know? Like, yeah, because I mean, he does seem like he.
But here's the thing about him being.
That's his diagnosis.
Here's what. I almost wish that was the case.
Oh,
because
boy. Oh, boy.
You hope for
really dark June, really dark
because,
today.
Because I know, but I felt like what was missing for me was there was that childlike quality, but with none of the sort of. I didn't find him lovable in that childlike way. I didn't find Pee-wee's lovable. Pee-wee cares about other people.
Pee-wee's smart,
Pee-wee's,
I think.
And smart in his own
way.
Yeah,
he's outsmarting people.
Yes,
he's a child,
but also
he's
probably molested.
Sure.
I don't know. I think Pee-wee is makes a choice.
Well, this is what I think.
Like Peter Pan. Like he doesn't want to grow up, but he
doesn't go out of his way to help other people, really.
Mm-hmm.
He cares about his dog.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it.
And his life.
Which is
and his life. He wants to advance his life.
And he wants
but
to always be compressed
is...
in a weird, interesting way.
He doesn't have any big, his goals aren't, he doesn't like to reach for the stars.
No,
he does. Doesn't. He wants, he always wants to elevate his, he has dreams of becoming a bank
teller.
Oh yeah,
he wants
teller,
to be a teller.
Right.
Yes.
To be, you know, in charge. Like, he wants to get out of this, this floor cleaning game.
I feel like we should go through, the iconic stars of children's TV and movies and decide whether or not we think they were molested.
Yeah.
I think that's a list that
we should.
If we don't do it here and now, maybe on the boards somebody will start that.
We can go through them one by one.
Them. Yeah,
that
but,
sounds
you know,
like a great list.
Yeah, you know, because I think you know it's very important for us to understand you know
what went into this character.
Yeah,
I will say that you know I. I think that, you know, if he was molested, he's made great strides.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. This is not great.
He doesn't have, like, a fantastical world.
No.
He's a janitor in
the street. His house looks really dumpy. His house looks
so
like,
trashy.
Well, you might see, like, on True Detective in that final episode when they find the Yellow King.
His house is the Yellow King's death cave.
And he does the voices like the fucking Yellow King guy.
He does. Oh, my God. That's amazing. I would love it if Carcosa was instead that mousetrap style like Rube Goldberg machine rather than just sticks and twigs.
Oh, please, someone make a True Detective poster with Ernest on it. I want to see that.
Well, it seemed also that he was doing his bathing and like general hygiene stuff at the bank.
No,
in the washing machine.
That's in his house.
Yeah,
that's the basement of his house. But I'm really confused about
confusing.
That because then he, there's the next scene where he gets out of
the dryer,
gets out of the truck. No, he gets out of the truck with Chuck and
Bobby.
Bobby, and walks into his house.
Yeah, he lives next door to them. Remember, he gets the jury notice and runs to the house next door to tell them.
I know, but he
first they are shooting at him indoors.
I understand.
Oh, he cleans up before he goes.
Cleans up before he goes home.
Oh.
Oh, you may be right.
Yeah, because I thought that was in the basement. It made in the like a locker room that he fashioned. Yes. Yeah, I
think that's that, why, because there's probably no shower there. So he's like, oh, maybe what I'll do is I'll build a giant washing machine and a giant body blow dryer.
He's a real inventor.
I think you're right. Here's the weird thing about that washing machine. It's a washing machine.
Like for clothes.
For clothes, but it's got the functions of a blender.
Yes.
Right. And it looks like a washing machine, but it's like puree is on it.
And it's for a man.
It's for a man to shower.
Which he showers in the jean jacket.
Yeah.
Which, ladies, did you find that sexy or what? Because he had no shirt on.
No. Was this jean jacket doing it for you?
I didn't even notice that. That was totally normal to me that he wouldn't ever take his shirt off. If I saw him without his jean jacket,
that was a good choice.
I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hey, everybody. Sorry to interrupt the show, but we have to pay our sponsors. And the number one sponsor I want to say thank you to is Austin Skoglund. Hope that's how you pronounce your name. Austin donated 100 bones to How Did This Get Made? Austin, you are a true American hero. Thank you so much for everyone and anyone that wants to donate money. But today, Austin, you're the best. I'm going to sing you a song right now. Austin Skoglund! He's the best guy. If he had a vampire friend, I don't know what would happen, but he wouldn't kill him because he's a nice dude. Austin Skoglund, never killing vampire friends because he's willing to trust them that they have changed, just like Spike in the later seasons of Buffy.
Squarespace is the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, portfolio, and online store for a free trial and 10% off. Visit squarespace.com/cage and enter the offer code June, that's J-U-N-E, at checkout. A better website starts with your website. You get that? Do you understand that? Here's the thing, people. Websites. The old ones look like shit. Get off GeoCities, make a new website, and let people notice you. People don't see faces anymore. They see websites, they see Twitter handles, they see Facebook links. So what better way to make you appear like a real person than to get a website? And do that through Squarespace because it's simple, it's easy, it's a beautiful design. They have a drag and drop content, 24/7 customer support through live chat and email. They're located in New York and Dublin, so, you know, they're probably drunk in Dublin. Plans start at $8 a month and includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. Guys, do this. I don't know what else to tell you. No credit card is required. Start building your website today. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, make sure you go to squarespace.com/cage. Use the offer code June, J-U-N-E, to get 10% off your first purchase and show your support for How Did This Get Made. We thank you, Squarespace, because you support us and our fans support you. And then someone kills Simba's father. We don't know. Squarespace, a better website starts with your website. I know you've heard all about Audible, right? 150,000 titles to choose from. Fiction, nonfiction, bestsellers, every category imaginable. They got free apps for iPhones, Androids, Windows phones. You've heard it all before, but have you done it yet? I'm like you. I have not gotten on Audible, right? And then I did, and holy shit, it's awesome. I'm reading a book, and then I can get in my car and listen to the rest of it. What am I listening to right now? I'm listening to Galveston by the guy who wrote True Detective. It's great. I'm also listening to Kevin Pollak's book, How I Slipped My Way to the Middle. It's equally great. If you want to get a free audiobook of your choice and a 30-day free trial membership, and why wouldn't you? Do it with us, okay? So here we go. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook of your choice and a 30-day free membership. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/how, that's H-O-W, and choose from over 150 titles and download a title free and start listening right now. It's that easy. Go to audiblepodcast.com/how, that's audiblepodcast.com/how, and get started today. Guys, I'm telling you. Join up with me. Listen to Galveston. You'll love it.
I couldn't make
I really
heads or tails of almost anything.
The characters that I loved were Chuck and Bobby, and their lifestyle.
Their relationship was pretty fascinating.
Yeah, they had a camo van. They were shooting guns in the house.
They had a lot of like hand signals.
Those hand signals made me laugh.
I think so.
Well, they're like, it's like a Bert and Ernie thing.
Okay.
Oh, I buy that.
Oh, yeah. You know? I had Laurel and Hardy.
Oh. But now, I want to talk about when Ernest goes to jail.
Representative of our respective ages, I think.
When Ernest goes to jail, it seems like he is put in this prison, and the prisoners are automatically angry with him. It's like, you're going to get what's coming to you inside and out, which is... Well, that's an awful thing to say to anyone.
Yes.
Because why would you want to hurt this poor man?
Like, well, then they had his back in prison, and people were scared of him because they thought he was bad.
Well, yeah. then the one guy who was from Raising Arizona, that guy, like, was helping him escape two scenes later.
Well, look, everybody thought he was Nash.
Right.
Right.
But no. But then I think the guys in the prison knew he wasn't Nash.
No, like, yeah. The Raising Arizona guy.
Their version of Chuck
and Bobby.
Right.
I think those guys had to support Ernest, real Ernest, as bad Ernest. Otherwise, the bad guys in prison would come after them. That's why they make him win the arm wrestling. That's why they, because otherwise they think they know that they are weak now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You know? All right. Mm. Yeah. But the reason why I think Raising Arizona ultimately sided with Ernest was because he was racist. He had a Confederate flag hung up in his room.
Oh, interesting. Saw that.
In his room?
Yes.
In his prison room?
Yeah, his prison room.
It was actually a nice room.
It did seem more decked out than most.
When Ernest was his dorm mate?
No, it's true. Ernest at one point is on a floral printed recliner in the prison cell. So it did seem more like a room.
talking about this, the reveal of evil Ernest, who they hide the fact that he looks just like Ernest for a long time to no...
For like 30 minutes.
Yeah, for no dramatic effect, I don't think, because it's like, it's clearly Ernest, but it's like, who is this guy going to be? And when they finally reveal it, he's like washing his face and he pulls down his towel. And it's
he was shaving a beard.
I know.
Oh, he had a beard?
I don't know. I think so.
Oh, I thought that they were...
Why even invent that backstory? It's unnecessary.
You know what? I didn't have that fantasy. Now I do.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Wait, no. If he had a beard, then he wouldn't look like Ernest.
Bad Ernest with a sexy beard.
No, that's why he had to shave it.
He had a little scruffle.
It would be weird. Why did you shave your beard?
Categorically, no evidence to suggest he had a beard in this movie.
When we are introduced to him, he pulls down like a hot towel.
Yeah.
Like
he's just cleaning himself.
That's a hot shave.
Why wouldn't they show you him with the beard? And then that would have been a better reveal. Like, oh, does this guy look like Ernest? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure.
No, because his voice was so different as bad Ernest.
Yeah, that one kind of just sounded like that.
The ladies know. The ladies know the backstory.
I think they handled that just right.
Wait, I want to tell you why the electric chair was my favorite part.
Please.
Because it is the most powerful electric chair in the world. And every time he gets electrocuted, he goes, blah, 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 and I really like that.
That sound effect made me laugh too, really hard. It went on way too long. It was like, blah, 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 and he's not even really in the electric chair. Like,
they didn't put the thing on his head.
No, and his hands aren't strapped down. So he's impervious to electricity.
I can do that for days.
Here's what's weird, though.
I just pictured him in an ADR room just like doing that nonstop.
He couldn't stop.
There was somebody working. There was a worker working on the electric chair before he sat in it.
Which I thought was Raising Arizona, like trying to help him get out. But it was not. That theory is blown to shit.
I didn't like...
You saw his face.
I didn't like how evil Ernest treated the dog.
There was a shot where he picked up that dog
by the back of its neck.
I didn't like that at all. Threw it
in a garbage can.
that was crazy.
I was like, whoa, hey guys, hey.
Yeah, no. That was even too much for me.
Yeah, racism.
That was too much for you.
That was even too much for me. And you guys know my tolerance.
June has a really high tolerance. You guys
know my tolerance for cruelty to animals is
I can take
almost
a lot,
limitless.
There was rape, there was racism, and there was animal cruelty. And that animal cruelty was too far.
It really was.
The rape scene was very crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rape scene was...
This is a children's movie.
Yeah.
And well, a man
this is
that...
the weirdest thing.
Teach your children well.
He tries to rape her.
Evil Ernest. Keep in mind, Evil Ernest, for kids who are watching, Evil Ernest looks exactly like the hero of the movie.
And I would argue his voice isn't that much different.
Yes.
It's not like, it's not... So if I was a kid, I would be like,
is slicked back hair.
Yeah.
Which is often covered by a hat.
All guys wish they could slick back their hair. Let's be real. You know what I really wanted to see? I was waiting for the whole time was for Nash to pretend to be Ernest. I don't know why. Yep. I just wanted to see Nash get silly.
That would have been fun.
Would have been smart. Would have been smart.
Here's what was weird.
Yeah, okay, Nash really Nash never tried to fit in. Can I just because we've been alluding to it, I want to play the clips of Ernest doing all the impressions. This is he get a chance to hear
so this
the
is
rain.
Ernest in prison?
In prison, trying to figure out how Nash sounds. Nash did
how
not.
How to be tough.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go.
Hey, yo, Murdoch. You're the guy that shot my brother, right? And I'm the guy that's going to shoot you, eh? All right. Of all the gin joints and all the cities and all the world, you've got to waltz into my place and shoot my brother.
Kids love a Humphrey Bogart impression.
I mean, that's
the animal will cover up the shot.
I don't think this movie is for kids, Jason.
You're the guy that
shot
my brother.
I think you're
right. Okay, stop the clip. You don't think this is for children?
You know what?
Who is it for?
Really feel that way.
Well, okay, I'm gonna just say that
there
just
were a couple
so you know,
things in there for the parents.
A daytime Emmy Award was he was given a daytime Emmy Award for an outstanding performer in a children's series for Hey Vern, It's Ernest. So I would argue that because he won an Emmy as this character, it is
this
for children.
This has got to be a kid's movie.
It is a, kid's movie. We're not debating this. We're not debating that this is a child's movie. This is a...
Jason, you know that.
Don't look at me. June just said, I don't think this
sharper.
Is a kid's movie.
It doesn't have that sort of levity that... Well,
here we go. These are the movies.
That's maybe another reason for the hot pink coats. Jackets. I'm just saying maybe
I think
we need more color, they
you know
said.
What? I'm gonna go back to my original somebody was like, you know what? This is what we can do. As long as we make the prison poppier, we'll give them pink jackets, you can keep the rape scene.
Well, here's the other really weird thing about the rape scene. After she runs out of the house, after almost being raped, she's saved by the dog. She says she's at her car, and she has a flat tire just
which,
randomly.
By the way, in the timeline there, it seemed like he tried to rape her like way before this.
And she gets, she works herself into a huff and screams out, I am not a victim.
Yes.
And then turns around, I guess, to go confront
him.
I thought that was very strange.
She says, first Ernest, now this.
Yeah.
I completely missed that.
Here's what's weird, too.
I'm acting like a victim, and she's so angry with herself.
Oh, yeah. No, I remember that. Yeah. I was so thrown.
By how sexy the rape scene was?
I was so turned on. I had to go
masturbate. See, I was surprised that she was not into Bad Ernest.
Immediately. She wasn't what?
She wasn't into Bad Ernest. Or was she? Because there's that one scene where he kisses her and he walks away. Right. And she seems all...
She does go to his house to talk.
Well, she goes,
And he's wearing a late silk night. Robe.
Guys, will you listen to yourselves? Yeah. You're basically saying she asked for it.
No, I'm just... I
You two just talked yourselves into... She says she's a victim. And then you were like, she did go to her house wearing very little. She's a whore. She deserves what she got.
I think I'm just like... I just... thought Nash Bad Ernest was so hot.
Yeah.
It's throwing me.
Yeah.
I want
to
talk about two things here.
He had everything that, like, you know, she liked regular Ernest as a
but
friend.
But she needed that machismo.
He didn't have that kind of sexuality. And
that
so,
raw.
Yeah.
Wait, what did you say it was? How did you describe it? That oozing sexuality.
Yeah.
But to me, bad Ernest is the perfect fit.
Yeah.
Couple things that I think
is like both a worlds.
Bizarro version of this worlds. Show.
As we're going through talking about this stuff, I realize that this may be the issue with this movie. Every movie has been written and directed by John R. Cherry. This is the only one that was not written by him. So maybe they gave up the reins of the storytelling and Ernest went a little bit south. Now here's another thing. You talked about Laurel and Hardy a second ago. John R. Cherry also rebooted Laurel and Hardy and the new adventures of Laurel and Hardy.
Oh my God.
For Love of the Money. The Mummy. For Love of the Mummy.
Now, in Ernest Goes to Camp.
Wait, click on that. Who played Laurel and Hardy?
Let's see.
It wasn't these two guys. It wasn't these two cops.
Bronson
Pinchot?
He's in it as Stanley. Oh, yeah, I guess, yeah.
Stan Laurel.
Oh, and the other guy.
The guy from this movie?
The other guy from the movie. The security guard.
The
portly guy.
I liked him a lot.
He's Chuck.
That's amazing.
Chuck.
Chuck and Bronson Pinchot were Laurel and Hardy.
I'd want to see this.
We are doing that movie.
Yeah, I think you guys need to do this.
The New Adventures of Laurel and Hardy. I love it.
We haven't even gotten to like Ernest flying.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That was so.
If you think there isn't flying in this movie, there is
a little bit of a precursor. Wrong. Yeah, for Slam Dunk Ernest, I would imagine.
But wait, there's more.
Yes, he does fly at the end. Because, again, his powers are a little unruly. It seems like he's able to float and also is rubber. Because in the end fight scene, the bad Ernest is punching. And by the way, I had a problem with this bad Ernest. Because when they finally have their showdown, they're both dressed exactly the same. So I figured that was all just to save money on set. Like, he did his good Ernest, then walked over to the other side of the set and did his bad Ernest. So, like,
there was also no... I kept expecting there to be the moment of like shoot him. I'm the one. That beat
and
never
happened.
And it
would have been great there to see bad Ernest playing good Ernest.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would have been a hoot.
Yeah, but no, we didn't have that satisfying moment at all.
No.
And Ernest just knocked him out somehow with maybe the buffer.
The weird thing. Yeah, the buffer comes back here. But the weird thing about bad Ernest, as I think about it, is bad Ernest was just a. He was about to go on death row.
He was about to be killed.
He was about to be killed when he was still in jail, right? As bad Ernest.
Correct.
I found it amazing. I mean, I guess this is what happens a lot, but I found it amazing that as soon as he got out of jail, he was staging a huge heist.
You know, it's who he is.
Well, he just
that's who he is,
but he had a great inn. He like Ernest worked
I
at a bank.
Know,
he
was
like,
but my God, he was almost put to death.
You thought he would see the error of his ways.
Yeah.
You think given this second chance, he has now put Ernest on death row. And you think he should just go up on the straight and narrow?
Well, if I were him, I would just be so happy to be
alive. Well, here's the deal, though.
So he's happy to be alive.
Why did he get out of jail and, like, not have sex with somebody immediately?
Well,
like,
he tried.
He tried with Charlotte.
He tried with Charlotte.
It took a week later. Yeah, it took a little bit of time.
Yeah, he doesn't do anything fun. Get a burger.
Yeah, you're right. He just goes right into. Well,
he
I
goes
mean,
to the
well,
bank.
When, Wait, when, is when, that when your Court idea gets, of fun? Get a burger.
Get a burger and a shake. And
he's been
and,
eating all that terrible prison food. Yeah. Well, like, I mean, he gets out of court really late night. It's a late night court session where they release the jury. It's pitch black.
The jury went on a field trip
to the jail. Okay, what was the justification of that?
To why see how the man fell down?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I know this. I do know this. Okay. Just side note, I'm also very confused as to why they didn't put in this kid's movie a scene where bad Ernest fucks a hooker. Because that would have made sense. Okay.
Immediately.
No, what happened was on the trial, the guy on trial who has a mohawk, Mr. T looking guy, he realizes.
Also wearing a very angular, brightly colored suit.
He realizes. That Ernest looks just like Nash, and he whispers to the lawyer, "It looks just like him. Right. We can do this." And the lawyer says, stands up and is like, "I think the jury needs to go to the prison in order to see the circumstances in which this happened."
Yes,
to facilitate the switcheroo.
I see.
Wait, yeah. Say that again, because I was basically, I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking that, again, this movie's racist because the black guy was on trial.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, what?
Yeah, no, this was nothing but a scathing indictment of our prison systems, which incarcerate like an abnormally high ratio of black men to white men.
And also,
it's shocking.
I mean, that's what you
and get. And that is the subtext.
And that, I mean, you always are going to get that. You get that in Slumdog Earnest. You get that in Earnest Goes to the Army.
Yep.
You get all those.
And then, not to mention, you know, I don't know anything about Earnest Goes to Africa, but.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Well, the tagline to Ernest Goes to Africa is Africa will never be the same. these are the Ernest movies, by the way, just in case you want to know them. Ernest Goes to Camp made $24 million right out the gate. That was in 87. Ernest Goes to Christmas made $29
million. Ernest Goes
to Christmas. Oh, sorry. Saves Christmas.
I know the number for jail.
Go for it.
25.
25. That's the third one, right?
What?
Then, all of a sudden, Ernest Scared Stupid drops. That goes to
that's
14.
You know why?
Okay.
You know why?
Because I think if I'm into the Ernest movies and I'm like, uh-oh, he's even dumber in this one.
People didn't want to see like a scary Ernest movie. But then this is where everything goes downhill. Because these movies are made in 87, 88, 90. So at $25 million for jail, huge. Scared Stupid, 14. Then Ernest Rides Again, 1 million.
Oof.
Wow.
People. And now, what would you think Ernest...
What year? Wait, what...
93.
So this has now been 8 years?
Yes, of making an Ernest movie. What would you guys think Ernest Rides Again is about? Just because I'm...
Ernest surprised. Rides Again.
Rides Again.
It's a Western.
Okay, what do you think?
A motorcycle.
Okay. June, do you have a guess?
I was going to say he's like... It's not like totally a Western, but he's a rodeo guy.
No, he unearths a huge cannon that contains the crown jewels of England.
What?
He unearths
a cannon?
Yep. That,
crown jewels of England?
Yep. That
so
is,
what does he ride?
Who wrote that one?
Don't know.
Did JRC write that?
That was JRC.
Come on.
Can we get him on the phone?
Yeah.
Yep.
I want to talk to JRC.
I want to talk to him too.
Whoa. Yeah, that is, that is.
That's mind-blowing. You know what?
Here's the thing. I can imagine that in the other movies that are kind of more colorful and bright.
He befriends a history professor and finds a Revolutionary War cannon and must protect it from others who want the precious jewels inside. There it is.
What it's going to say is that Ernest has a special shot, a special camera move. It's like Ernest Cam, where it's just right on. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can imagine the other movies, it really works because they're probably brighter and well lit and outside and more colorful. But when he's in prison shot like that, it's a little scary.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Is that supposed to be the Vern Cam?
Vern Cam.
I think so.
Oh, yeah. Because those were the commercials were like, hey, Vern.
Right,
and he would
come right up into
frame.
Camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. But they didn't talk about Vern in this movie.
No.
At all.
Did they talk about Vern in the other one?
Well, no. Vern died in the first one.
What?
I'm just kidding.
Did anyone else notice that the security guard, I think it was Chuck, the bigger guy, when he was screaming in the last sort of bank sequence, his scream sounded like a horse's neigh?
Oh, I didn't see. I know.
Did you hear that?
No, I did not hear that.
I don't remember, but
he's like,
I could have blocked it out.
Do you care about talking about the fact that he flies in the movie?
I mean, I don't know what to say.
Yeah, what more?
He's electrocuted again in the bank.
You know what? Does powder fly?
No, I don't think so.
I thought he levitates.
Maybe he does.
Guys, I'm
like David Blaine style.
I'm doing more reading about JRC? Jim Varney, and he did a lot of drama. He did He was one of the rebels in a midnight movie called Existo. Then his last movie was in a Billy Bob Thornton feature called Daddy and Them, where he played Uncle Hazel.
I'm not surprised.
And he was arrested for murder in that. And he's done a lot. Yeah, he's done a lot of more serious roles.
He wanted to.
He had to. He had the training.
I think
he had the looks.
You guys can admit, though,
the looks for drama.
It's fine if you don't think that he's a sexy dude, but he's a good actor playing bad Ernest.
Yeah.
I actually think a talented actor.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
No, I'm only saying I don't think he's sexy.
Fine.
Did Ernest have any children?
Who?
Did Jim Varney?
No, he was twice divorced. No, both kids. Of his marriages did not work out, according to this.
I wonder who's the heir to the Varney estate.
Well, I know that someone in his family is trying to relaunch the Ernest franchise. In 2012, they tried to relaunch The Son of Ernest.
Wait, did they do a movie?
They're talking about it right now.
Oh, okay.
It's tentatively titled
Son of Ernest. Who would play Son of Ernest?
Well, you got it.
I think his nephew wrote a book about him.
Yes, he did.
Maybe his nephew is the one that wants to be.
The presumption would be that Ernest had sex.
I know.
Oh, yeah, because it would be the son of Ernest.
With that.
I'm not comfortable
and
with that.
And who is it? Is it Miss Charlotte?
No, somebody later, I'm sure. All right, so. Obviously, we had opinions about this movie, but there are some people out there that have a different opinion. So now it is time for Second Opinions.
Second Opinions, Second Opinions. They're not your first, but they're gonna be a second.
These are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon.com. These are people who loved Ernest so much. Now I'll be reading their reviews. Here we go. Brilliant and executed Out of Style by DSG. If there's one thing I got from this movie, and I have it on DVD, it's that even idiots can save the day. So don't ever doubt an idiot you know, because he or she might be the one that saves your life someday. Brilliant script, funny as nails movie, great actors and actresses.
I was just going to say, nails aren't funny.
5 stars. Now, coming up to my favorite review here.
If that's your takeaway, if the takeaway is idiots might save your life, that's a bad lesson learned.
No, I think it's great. This one is called Super Ernest by John R. Rizak. He goes, I need a laugh from time to time. Ernest is good for that. Done. 5 stars. Now, this is my favorite review because it actually opens up the field a little bit. Favorite Ernest, but they cut the DVD. This is by MTP. The only problem I have with the DVD is I used to have this on VHS, but sadly, when it died, I bought the DVD and was horrified to find out they cut 2 scenes. The first scene I didn't mind so much. It was when Nash's girlfriend came and visited Ernest in jail, but then they cut the very final.
Wait, a conjugal visit?
Yeah. Yes.
I've seen that.
Oh, that sounds like a
great
role.
That this is a kid's movie.
And,
go on.
And they goes, and they also cut the very final scene of the movie. The DVD ends when Ernest falls out of the sky, got burnt to a crisp, and says the famous line, I came, I saw, I got blowed up. The real ending was after that, because I did think the ending was a little bit abrupt.
I was surprised.
It goes, the real ending was after that when we see Ernest has finally got that clerk's job that he wanted.
Oh.
While sitting at his new desk, he's shocked by the computer and becomes magnetized again, and the filing cabinets start chasing him. It was a much better ending.
Yeah.
That's a way. Why would you cut these scenes?
Why did they cut that, I wonder?
Yeah, he needed to achieve his dream at the end.
Yeah. Just to say I came, I saw, I got blown up. I was like, who made that decision that they didn't want to have him achieve something?
Maybe they didn't want to, maybe they forgot to shoot it, didn't want to rebuild the set. Like, it. That's crazy. Or no, they did shoot it.
No, they did shoot it.
Got shot,
just kidding.
And they're also a bunch of edited scenes.
It didn't make sense.
There's a bunch of edited scenes on YouTube where, like, where the evil Ernest goes and has a scene with the evil bank manager, and he's really cocky. But boy, oh boy, would you guys recommend seeing Ernest Goes to Jail?
I really would not.
No, you know, genuinely, not even for a kid.
I genuinely would say there are better, worse movies that we've done.
Than Ernest Goes to Jail.
This was not enjoyable.
I mean, unless you want to watch it for Bad Ernest.
Oh,
for jerking off purposes.
For Yang Bang.
Yeah.
You mean why I still watch episode 2 of True Detective?
Exactly.
For the ladies, yes. Wait, can I just ask you,
please.
Is Ernest Goes to Camp
first
funny?
I don't know. I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I loved it when I was a kid. Yeah. I loved that Ernest character, but I stopped following him in the theaters after Ernest Goes to Camp.
I was more of a where's the beef guy. You know, I was always following her career.
And I mean, she made some great movies.
Oh,
some
yeah.
solid, solid movies.
Yep. Where's the beef in space?
Oh, it's so good. Well, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. Do you have anything you want to plug? Anything you want to talk about?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Great. Jason?
No, not really.
June?
Ask Backwards is on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Hulu.
I saw that.
Netflix and Hulu for free. Just so you guys know, the How Did This Get Made awards are coming. Voting is going to be on our Facebook page. If you thought that we missed anything in this episode, you can make a correction and omission on the Earwolf boards, and I will read them on the mini episode. But stay tuned for all that good stuff.
I do want to say this. They played a good game. We won. How I Met Your Mother has gone off the air.
Yes.
And that was our great rivalry.
Yes.
H-I-M-Y-M versus...
D-O-A.
Yes, versus H-D-T-G-M. Guess who's still on the air?
We are.
To this day. How did this get made? If you want to know what's what... You can sign up for Twitter. We have Twitter.
Yeah, at HDTGM. And guess what? We're not going to let you down at the ending.
H-I-Y-D is coming out.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that'll be a whole new rivalry. Okay, they'll have to come up and see if they're going to.
Oh, we got your number, Greta Gerwig. We're coming for you.
Boom! Bring it! Bring it! Brow,
brow! Wait, I want to know about these awards.
Oh, it's going to be pretty good. We have
You'll be invited.
Like
red carpet.
Things that Jason is most turned on by. We'll see her categories. Things that June is most upset by. You'll hear that. Guest stories like Danny Trejo telling us that the most feared person in Hollywood from his perspective is John Cusack. Amazing, amazing things in the How Did This Get Made awards, which are coming very soon. Thank you, guys. And we have some other people to thank. I'm talking about our amazing engineer, Brett Morris, working the boards. Great work in the boards in there. I'm talking about our clip puller, Avril Halley, who I've been mispronouncing her name for a very long time. I hope I am on the track now. Nate Kiley does all of our research. Leanna Waldron, who is just killing it on the graphic designs. Check out our Facebook page to see what she's up to. She's doing some cool shit. She actually has some stickers that maybe I'll give out to some people. And, of course, Katie Dyer, who runs our social media presence. Our Twitter is coming along great, and our Facebook, too. Thank you guys for helping us out. The show couldn't be made without you. And all the great people here at Earwolf that I can't even mention. There's so many great people.
Guys, the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival is coming this July. What is that, Paul? I'll tell you. It is from July 25th to 28th. You'll join some of your favorite comedians and musicians for a cruise to the Bahamas. What? This is amazing. These comedians are awesome. You get W. Kamau Bell, Natasha Leggero. She's been a guest on How Did This Get Made? Morgan Murphy, Kyle Kinane, Moshe Kasher, Chris Fairbanks, Greg Baronet, Tony Kameen, Karen Kilgraff, Matt Bronger. This is an amazing cruise with cool people. Plus, there's also one night of amazing musical performances by John Roderick, Jean Grey, Lake, and the Anti-Ballast. The ship leaves from Cape Canaveral, Florida, and you'll get to spend 2 days in the Bahamas, one day in Nassau, and one day on a private island. You know what that means? Fuck Central. There'll also be other fun activities like a shuffleboard tournament, cocktail parties, and more. Find out more about the Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Musical Festival today by going to boatparty.biz. We got a great deal for you just for our listeners. Enter the promo code LITERALLY when you book your tickets and get $50 off per person. What? Get the fuck out of here. Now I'm going to get on that boat. I'm going to drink a Long Island iced tea, and I'm going to bang a girl that I'm never going to see again. Or if I'm a lady, I'm going to bang a dude. Or if I'm a gay man, I'm going to bang a dude. And if I'm a lady and a gay lady, I'm going to bang a lady. That's how it works. The Atlantic Ocean Comedy and Music Festival. Comedy, music, shuffleboard. Do it. Enter the promo code LITERALLY, 50% off. All right, look, I know that you guys aren't doing anything, so why don't you help out How Did This Get Made by downloading a short anonymous survey that will take no more than 5 minutes. Now, why am I wanting you to do this? This is for our advertisers, so we can advertise things that you actually like. We don't want to advertise Bengay because you guys are youthful. You don't need to rub that shit on your balls, okay? We want to give you cool stuff like the sponsors that we already have. So if you complete the survey, you'll be entered into an ongoing monthly raffle to win a $100 Amazon gift card. We promise not to sell or share any of your email information, all that shit. We're not going to heart bleed you, okay? And we're not going to send you an email unless you win the $100 gift card. So go to www.podsurvey.com/HDTGM. Again, that's www.podsurvey.com/HDTGM. That's podsurvey.com/HDTGM. Take our survey and get a chance to win $100 Amazon cod. That's not too shabby. And I said cod. An Amazon cod. Get a cod. Guys, you're the best. Remember, come see us live in July on the 19th. And if you're still listening, then you should definitely be making a sound collage for the Howdies. Send it to howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. We love you. Peace!
Earwolf. This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hi, I'm Nick Vatterott.
And I'm Nick Turner.
And we are the hosts of Get Rich Nick.
For this podcast, we are out there in the world trying every get rich quick scheme to tell you guys which ones actually work and which ones aren't worth your time. Like donating plasma.
Online poker.
TaskRabbit.
Writing ebooks.
Betting on the ponies.
Going on eBay.
Background extra.
Making money from metal detectors.
Lemonade stands.
Selling fruit in the backyard.
Trivia nights.
Selling fruit from the backyard.
We're walking dogs on Rover.
We're playing video games for cash.
We're starting a Patreon way too early.
Betting how much you walk.
Losing weight.
We're hijacking a truck going southbound to Tijuana, and no one's going anywhere until we get what we want.
If you are intrigued by any of that, thank you.
You can tell which ones are not worth your time because we're still doing the podcast. If we were rich, we'd be on a yacht somewhere on a rainbow.
Get Rich Nick is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.